bringing you news and information suppressed by the corporate-controlled media. This is Volcano Radio with Richie Allen.
He's an author. He's an activist. He's a brilliant radio presenter. And he talks about things from ranging from government corruption to the nature of reality to so many things. Had the pleasure of appearing on the same channel as him in London, although because he's based in Australia, we didn't interact too much, it has to be said. Spoke to him earlier on today. He is Max Egan, by the way. And the first question I asked him was I asked him about something he was saying about civil disobedience, about non-compliance. And I asked him how easy or how difficult did he think it was for people not to comply with the system. This is what he had to say.
Well, the thing is that the system only functions because we go along with it. I mean, everything that's happening here is because we go along with it. It's readjusting our perspective as to what the system is and what the people who work within the system are. I mean, these people are ultimately our employees. They're public trustees. That's all they are. And if they're enacting legislation which is putting people into a state of hardship, then we kind of have a duty not to comply with that legislation because that's not what we employ these people to do. You know, if we don't comply with the rules that they put in place, then they really have nowhere to go. But we need a strong community in order to do it properly. I mean, you know, one person does this and you get yourself in trouble. You know, you sort of, they single you out and you're like the nail that's sticking up. They come along and bang you on the head, you know, the tall poppy they like that's to cut down. But if we've got a strong community, if we actually respect ourselves and respect the people around us, we've got a strong communal response to anything that they try to present to us, then we can nip it in the bud straight away. I mean, we've got some serious problems on this world, Richie. We really do. I mean, and ultimately it's because our leaders are criminals. They're criminals. I mean, and they've proven us that they're criminals time and time again. I mean, really, you can just break down any world situation and look at it and go, okay, well, these people are criminals. I mean, look at what just happened in Gaza. This is a blatant war crime. Gaza itself is a war crime. Every government that supports that is committing war crimes. These people are criminals. Look at America here. You've got Barack Obama saying he can execute anybody. You've got Guantanamo Bay. People being tortured. People held there without charge or trial. 78 people that are ready for release, but they won't release them. These are all crimes. All of these things are crimes. We've got criminal governments who need arresting, and it's only happening. It's only maintaining like the way it is, and it's only continuing down this path because we continue to comply with the rules that these people put in place.
You're so right. Can I just jump in there quickly? An amazing thing happened in Ireland a few years ago. I think you might be aware of it, Max. People living in communities where criminals, violent criminals were existing in those communities and they were peddling narcotics to children and they were being very violent. Now, I don't like vigilantism, but I liked what these people did in Dublin, inner city Dublin. They turned up, Max, in their hundreds, outside the front doors of these dirtbags and said, you have to go now. You're going to go and that's the end of it. You're getting out of our community. There was no violence involved. Nobody was killed or nobody was shot. Get out of our community. You're doing a terrible thing. And I look back on that and I wonder, have we been programmed out of that sense of outrage, but also that sense that we can actually confront people, like you've been suggesting, well, you know?
Well, yeah, we have. You know, a lot of it is the loss of the divine masculine, I believe, you know, the warrior spirit. You know, we need to confront these people. And like you say, we don't need violence or anything. We just need to call a spade and admit the reality of the situation. These people are criminals. I mean, Barack Obama's a criminal. David Cameron's a criminal. The Prime Minister of my country. All these people are criminals. Just look at their actions. And they get away with what they're doing because we've got to abide by the rules. And if we want to get rid of these people out of office, we've got to vote them out. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. We've got to follow all the rules that they put in place to tie us up in red tape for months and years on end while they get away with what they do. We need to really call a spade and simply do what these people did. Stand up and say, hey, you guys have done the wrong thing. You have to leave now.
There's encouraging signs, Max. In Ireland last weekend, I know you're aware of this, hundreds of thousands of people took to the streets, not just in Dublin, but all around Ireland, to protest the lunacy of Irish Water and Irish water meters and all that goes with that. And I thought to myself, because I was pretty critical of Ireland in recent years, I've not lived at home for a long time, and I thought, what happened to the rebellious spirit of my people? Why are they taking it in the backside the way they are? But over the last couple of weeks, more and more people are sending letters back to Irish Water in Dublin saying, no contract, no consent, we don't recognise your authority. And I'm pretty proud of that, Max. Is this an encouraging sign? Can we expect to see more of that elsewhere in the world?
Well, I hope so. I hope so. I mean, the Irish have always been great at this. The Irish have always kind of led by example in that respect, and more power to them. I love the Irish people for their stance. Same with the French, really. I mean, the French have always stood up against their government. Simple non-compliance. I mean, the French, when the French government tries to enact legislation they like, they just drive all their lorries into town and block off Paris and say, we're not moving until you put it back the way it was. And the government has no choice. They just have to put things back. You know, it's non-compliance. We can change everything through non-compliance. We really can, but we've been kind of cowed. We've been led down this path where we believe we have no power. We believe we're just little people, and little people can't do anything big. We can't rock the boat. We can't do anything against this big system. We don't realize that it's just run by people. I mean, the government isn't this big entity. It isn't this big monster. The government's just an idea. It exists in a book. People go to these buildings and they do what it says in the book. That's all it is. It's just an idea. You know, so we have to rethink, and we have to, you know, reestablish our power. We have to reestablish who we are. We have to rethink our perspective of who and what we are. You know, we're far more powerful than we give ourselves credit for.
Too right, Max. And you talk about television and the role of television and how powerful it is. I want to just get into that, if you don't mind, for the next few minutes. Again, it sounds so obvious, but I think it is, and I think people don't consider it enough. And I want to mention, when I was thinking of you last night, I was thinking about you last night. I'd been watching some of your videos on YouTube, and I was compelled by what you were saying and the evidence that you were putting forward there. And as you were talking about television, I got to thinking about an old song I used to sing when I was younger, when I was into hip-hop, a song by Michael Franti and the Disposable Heroes of Hypocrisy, a song called Television. And there's two very powerful lines in that song, Television, Drug of a Nation. The first one is the opening line, Television, Drug of a Nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation. And there's another line in it that says, television, our satellite links our United States of unconsciousness. And I thought, wow, yeah, that's absolutely spot on that. And it's far greater and far more powerful a tool in the hands of those who would seek to oppress you and I and keep power than we maybe give it credit for. Television is enormous, isn't it? How do you confront that? How do you defeat the influence that it has on people?
Well, yeah, it's a huge influence on people. I mean, it's insidious. And not only does it feed people disinformation, it lulls them into a false sense of reality. I mean, it lulls people into an alpha state by the pulse rate of the television. It puts you into a kind of a dreamlike state where you're open to suggestion, and then it puts suggestions into you. And it fills you full of opinions which are not your own. And it gives people a completely false version of reality. And it's so easy to concoct any type of story on television. You just flash a little bit of video footage of this, you know, some militants, and you tell them whatever you like, and they just believe it. And they believe that's what the world is like. But the world's very, very different to what the television tells you. So, I mean, what I've been doing, I mean, people are addicted to this stuff, so I make films, I make videos, and every radio show I do, I make a video to go with it so people can have this visual stimulation and hopefully use the same tool to deprogram them. I mean, we know it works. It's done an enormous amount of damage, and it's programmed people very effectively. And they even tell you that that's what they're doing. They call them programs. Let's watch the next program.
That's right.
They tell you what they're doing. You know, and people just buy into it. They just do it anyway. So, I mean, I try to use it to deprogram people. But it's an insidious invention. It really is. It lulls people into a completely false reality. And it fills people full of fear. A lot of people are too scared to travel. They're too scared to really go outside of their own societies because the television tells them it's so dangerous out there. You really go out there, and it's quite a small world, really. I mean, it's one big community, one big village, really. And the world is very, very different to what the television tells people. And it's important that people get rid of them. Well, I don't even own a television. I mean, I haven't had one for years. The only time I actually did have one was when I was married. My ex-wife had one. That's the only time I've even had one in the house. But I haven't had one in the house now for, I think, 19 years since I've had one in my house.
That's an amazing thing, Max. I think to myself, because of what I do, because I do a 5-night-a-week thing, I'm compelled to watch commercial news channels, even though I know most of what's on there is nonsense, but I'm compelled to watch it anyway, to compare and contrast it with, you know, what people like you are saying and others. Outside of that, though, I'll watch soccer games and I'll watch rugby games occasionally, but other than that, I have no use for television either. You know, I was, again, thinking of talking to you last night, and I was thinking there's so many things I can talk to Max about. First time we've spoken on air, which is a bit of a shame. There's no excuse for that, really. I don't know why that is. But I was thinking there's so much I can get into. And when I was listening to one of your videos, again, you were talking about television, I began to wonder about tribes that we often hear, lost tribes, you know, tribes in deep and dark places in Central and South America, where you come from, of course, in Australia. And I'd almost love to spend a bit of time, Max, with some of these tribes that don't have television, that don't have politicians, that don't have misery and don't have hunger and poverty. I'd almost like to spend time for a few months with some of these tribes and just to see what sort of effect that would have on me, you know?
Yeah, it's a very, very different reality. There's very few that don't have television now or don't know about it. It's infiltrating everywhere. But and there's very few uncontacted tribes left, and the ones that are uncontacted are unfortunately being decimated. But they're very, very interesting people. Even a lot of the native cultures around here, a lot of the Aboriginal cultures that still exist out in the way, way out back, you know, that don't really have much to do with the white man. They're very, very fascinating cultures, and they're very, very different to what we are. A lot of them just don't understand. They don't understand what happened to us, how we became so disconnected. And everything we do further disconnects us from the earth. And that's the problem that we've got, is our disconnection from the earth. I mean, technology could be good and it could be beneficial, and indeed it is in many ways, but in many ways it's highly detrimental to our survival as well, because it's disconnected us so much from ourselves. We're becoming very dependent upon technology, and we're losing contact with our inner technology, and that's the problem. You know, I mean, technology is not bad, it's only as bad as who controls it. And unfortunately, we've got a world run by criminals, and that's who controls the technology. So it's kind of leading us in a dangerous path. But many of these tribal cultures and tribal traditions, they are fascinated by us more than anything, in just how we ever became this disconnected, how we would even construct cities, why we would construct high-rise buildings, why we would want to lift ourselves that far from the planet that gives us life and supports us. They can't understand why we think the way we do. And it's an interesting thing. I mean, I often wonder why we think the way we do as well. I often wonder what happened to us to disconnect us from nature to such a degree.
Do you know, when I used to drive to the studios in London with David Icke, I suppose some of our listeners are probably sick of me mentioning David, but I do regularly because I spent a lot of time in the man's company, and there were some very interesting insights. We used to drive past several schools, Max, and David used to look over at the kids all lined up in the uniforms, and it used to really drive David to distraction. It used to upset him, and I said, what's wrong with you, you know? What's wrong with that? And he said, well, look, he said, those are beautiful children. Look at those kids there. Aren't they amazing? But he said, they're going in there to be basically taught that there's only one way. There's one way, and there's no other way. And you're very interested, and your own journey is taking you into areas about energy and spirituality and who we are and who we came from, Max. And I think, you know, I've, in the last years, begun to believe that we're infinite consciousness, you know, that we, you know, can't be destroyed, that we'll always be infinite awareness. And I think of those kids, and I think they're not going to be learning that there's a whole body of evidence and researchers talking about energy and, you know, the importance of that. They're basically trained to think of their bodies as physical and biological, and that's it, that's the be all and the end all. And of course, because they've been caught so young in that system, it becomes very difficult then, as they get older, to get them to look at any other way. Is that fair to say?
Well, very much, and it's all part of the program, it's all part of the plan. I mean, lock people into their left brain so they never really view the world holistically, they never really experience themselves artistically. You know, it's all about, you know, we don't have an education system that actually educates people. It indoctrinates people. It trains them to be a functional cog in the big machine. That's what it's all about. And we're taught that that's what success is. You know, the more stuff you've accumulated, the more rungs you've managed to climb on the social ladder, the more economically viable you are, the more successful you are. It's not about you. It's not about what your artistic expression of creation is. It's about the stuff. It's about what you've accumulated through your life, how many people you're able to control through your life, all of this sort of stuff. And it all disconnects you from yourself and disconnects you from any real creative input. You know, because if you can think of your life as an artistic expression of creation, you know, you yourself, the way you move, the way you walk, the way you dress, who you are, the way you speak, what you feel, what you think, what you do, what you enjoy, this is art. All of it is art. It's the art of being you. And we miss out on that. We don't actually get to experience that and elevate that to its highest potential and be all that we could be and create something incredible. You know, which we all have the potential of doing. We could have this most amazing reality. You know, humankind is got so much potential, so much incredible potential. But all of the education system is designed to limit that and to train people that you have to be like this. You've got to walk within these parameters. You've got to function according to these rules, and that success is measured by this stuff. It's not about being you at all. It's about working, you know, effectively within the parameters that are socially acceptable for this system, you know. And it's also about supporting this economic model. We've got to support the economic model. That's what it's all about. That's how you measure yourself, is by your economic and social status. That's what we're taught. And the economic model, because it's based in permanent growth, it's designed to turn everything on this planet into rubbish, because we have to harvest all these resources, make everything to break so we can replace it, because it's all about permanent growth. So it all ends up on a rubbish tip. So this economic system is designed to discard all life on this planet and turn the entire Earth into a rubbish tip. And we call that success. It's absolutely ridiculous. And that's what the education system is designed to do. And this results in a complete loss of humanity. We lose everything about ourselves, everything it means to be human. We lose through this system and our compliance to this system. That's why non-compliance is so important. And all you really have to do to not comply to this system is stand in integrity. Do the right thing in all that you do. Don't comply with any regulation which causes you to deviate from your moral compass. If the people did that, if everybody did that and express the artistic expression of themselves that they are and express the art of their lives and realize what they are and realize how perfect they are. That's something else that I often talk about on the shows and in all my talks, Rich, is how perfect you are, because no one can be you better than you. If you understand this is an energetic universe, your consciousness is not local to your body. It exists in the field outside of you. It exists in the ether. Your body is simply a biological computer tuned to a specific frequency, which is outlined by your DNA, which harvests one frequency from the surrounding field that is brought into your vessel, which you experience as Richie Allen. And you're absolutely perfect at experiencing that frequency. No one can do that better than you, and no one can ever have the perspective that you've got. So you are absolutely perfect at being you. So why would you ever consider yourself to be anything but perfect? Because you're perfect at being you, and being you is what you came here to be, obviously, because that's who you are. So it's perfect. It's what you do with that that's important. And once you can see this in yourself and you can view yourself from that perspective, suddenly you start looking at other people from that perspective, and you see the perfection in them. And then you start thinking, well, shit, where's the problem? Where's the problem that all these people have got with each other? Why is there a problem? You know?
Yeah,
we're all perfect at being ourselves. I mean, it's a wonderful way to look at things, and it really changes your perspective, and it changes the way you interact with people. And if we all thought this way, well, suddenly we just look at this system and say, hey, well, this doesn't work. We're going to go in a different direction now. It's really that simple, you know, non-compliance. But if we've got to respect each other in order for it to work, and we only don't respect each other because we don't understand who and what we are. I believe that's the key to the whole thing.
I love a couple of terrible stories, but also they're highlighting what you're talking about, you know, people standing outside of that and hanging on to what's decent and what's good. Big couple of stories in the last few days coming out of the United States. 90-year-old man in Florida facing 2 months in jail because he persists in giving food and his company and his time to homeless people. And you talk, Max, at length in your talks and what you write and on your radio shows about, you know, losing our humanity. You were just talking about it there. But there are people out there who, you know, are standing against that. And I keep going back to this thing about losing our sense of outrage. I would like to think that anybody who comes across this story of a 90-year-old man who was arrested. By the way, there were two preachers or two ministers arrested at the same time as him for looking after those less fortunate. I would like to think that anybody reading that story would be so horrified that they would share that story with as many people as they possibly could, discuss it with as many people as they possibly could. And if you're in that neck of the woods, if you're anywhere around Florida or the East Coast of America, that you would phone up the local authorities there or write them an email or write them a letter and say, listen, what's going on? How have we come to this, that it's punishable by prison to look after some poor misfortunate who's, you know, at the lowest ebb of their life, Max? But people are out there standing up to it. That's the point as well.
Well, yeah, you know, and that's the issue as well, the fact that the police actually arrested them. I mean, police are supposed to be men who have high moral fibre. You know, we employ these people to be upstanding citizens and to protect our societies. And yet governments are handing them any legislation they want, and these police are just complying with it because it was given to them by a politician. I mean, where's their moral fibre? If you're a police officer and you're thinking, hang on, I'm being told to arrest this 90-year-old man because he's feeding homeless people. Hang on.
Yeah.
Who gave me this law? I need to go and find who wrote this law, and I need to arrest them because they've just committed a crime against humanity, because this man is acting according to a moral compass. This man is acting in integrity. You know, and the police need to look at this. They need to look at this legislation and vet this legislation for its legitimacy when it's given to them. They need to go and arrest the politicians who wrote it. You know, that's the problem. See, that's one of the biggest problems we face in Western society, is the stupidity of our police. Unfortunately, that's true. The stupidity of our police. These people just follow any legislation that's handed to them. And they think, well, I have no choice because it was given to me by a guy in a suit. It's got a fancy letterhead on it. So who vets the legislation? Who examines any of this stuff for its validity? What, the politicians? Well, it doesn't seem to be working very well if we've got homeless people being arrested for being homeless, and we've got priests and elderly people being arrested for feeding people who shouldn't even be starving. The only reason they're starving is because of legislation that's been put in place by this society anyway. So let's have a look at these people who are writing the legislation. That's the problem, you see. Why aren't the police doing their job and actually protecting society? See, police don't protect society anymore. All they do is enforce law, and they don't care what the law is. They just enforce anything that's given to them. As long as it's got a rubber stamp on it, they'll enforce it, and they don't care. And that's one of the biggest problems that we face.
It sure is. We're with Max Egan. Max is a brilliant artist, musician, blogger, and, of course, broadcaster. I'll give you all his website details, of course, at the end of the show. I'll give them to you now. Max's website is thecrowhouse.com. We're going to pause just for about 90 seconds, take a quick breather. We'll come back with more then with Max Egan.
For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
At Holland Hydroponics, you'll find a wide variety of hydroponic systems, accessories, plant nutrition, and the latest hydroponic innovations always in stock. Visit www.hydroponics.co.uk in May to find these fantastic offers. Holland Hydroponics, open in Manchester, Burnley, Huddersfield, and our new store in Flint, North Wales.
Sazley Books is a friendly, family self-publishing company set up to help authors and potential authors like you to get your book into print.
At Sazmic, we offer self-publishing packages that get your manuscript published. We also offer other services that include book cover and layout design, website design, marketing materials, video production, and other services.
Here at Sazmic Books, we give every project the personal touch, whilst offering competitive prices and delivering a quality service and product you can be proud of. So why not join us at www.sazmicbooks.com to see what we can do for you.
You're listening to Volcania Radio, brought to you by VolcaniaInternational.com. Please play a visit to our media partners. Check out davidicke.com, fabradiointernational.com, talkradioeurope.com, and liveleak.com today.
Welcome back to the program, then. It's great to have Max Egan on from Brisbane in Australia. What a great guy. Max is. We've been covering quite a bit. Just before the break, we were talking about the inversion of people getting arrested and chastised by policemen and policewomen for doing something as charitable as looking after looking after homeless people, feeding them. Max, this is incredible because politicians who write these laws, they don't miss any opportunity to profess a great love for Jesus, do they? And yet, when it comes to doing what Jesus was supposed to have done, which was said, you know, give of yourself to the poorest, treat the least in society as you would yourself, your brother, your sister. But they write laws like this. And that brings us to religion and the control tool that religion is, because we're talking about a very serious control tool.
Well, it is. It's a very serious control system, especially in our societies, especially in America. I mean, the American politicians run around with the Bible in their hand all the time, and they really don't follow this at all. In fact, I've met very few Christians who actually are Christians. I've met very few Christians who actually follow the teachings of Christ. And really, when you look at it, I mean, the Vatican is one of the biggest control mechanisms on the planet. The whole banking system came out of there. And, yeah, I mean, this is a massive control system. And it also allows people to be expelled and discarded by society, because in our Christian societies, people believe that it has to turn to hell and things have to get bad. And once it's all rock bottom, it's all good because Jesus is going to come down and save you anyway. And it's all good anyway because suffering brings redemption. So it kind of allows people to be discarded because they think that someone's going to come and save them in the end. I think it's a huge part of the control system, especially in Western societies.
And it's funny because you talk about why your frustration, maybe I'm misjudging you, maybe it's not frustration, maybe it's your realization about people not looking at other theories and other evidence about how we came to be. I was raised a Catholic. I'm not Catholic at all. I'm an atheist. I can say that with absolute certainty. I don't believe in a benevolent creator looking down from on high who gives us free will so that we can go and slaughter one another. And then he'll pick a few thousand at the end of it to spend eternity with him. I think it's ludicrous. I mean, the fact that people will consider the idea that a man had a conversation with his son, who actually happens to be himself, and said to him, would you do me a favor, son? Would you go down to earth? Would you live for 30-odd years and then be tortured to death for the sins of these people whom you've never met? And the son went, yeah, okay, that I'll do that. You know, I'm not mocking people who... I don't want to sound mocking and condescending, but it's ludicrous to me, Max. It's ludicrous. It was ludicrous to me as a teenager when I sat in church and listened to that. Just absolutely crazy. And that's those same people won't consider the theory that we are infinite awareness, infinite energy. How do you get through that sort of programming? Because we're about solutions on this program. What is the way through people like that? Because they are legion, Max.
Well, you know, it's very, very difficult. It's very difficult. I mean, people just don't seem to want to take responsibility for themselves. People like to think that there's some outside force guiding them. They like to think that there's someone's going to come and save them. And it's just a removal of responsibility. People don't really want to think that they're powerful, because if they know that they're powerful, then it means they could make a difference to the world, which means they actually have to apply themselves, which means that if they don't, then actually they may be to blame for something. You know, the world may continue to go down the path it's going, and they like to think that it's really not their fault. And if they realize they've got power and they realize that, you know, it's all really up to them and it's up to them to change their perspective, it kind of puts a lot of responsibility on people. And that's the last thing people want. They just don't want that. You know, it's a weird thing, you know, it really is. But people have been taught that they have to wait for great people to come and do great deeds. And they're just little people, and they just have to sit back and watch, and it's all good, and they'll read about it in a book, or they'll see it on TV or something. But they don't really have to participate. Even with this truth movement and, you know, the changing of the world, we all want the world to change. We all want our criminal governments to be reined in, but a lot of people just want it to happen. They don't want to actually have to participate. They believe that if they read the right magazines and listen to the right radio shows and sign up for the right newsletters, one day they'll get a newsletter that will tell them the whole world has changed. They didn't really have to participate. They just had to have the knowledge, but not actually apply it to the world. Now, people are scared of applying themselves. You know, they're scared of their own power. That's the biggest problem that we face, is that people don't realize that it's just a world of people. We're all born with equal potential for creative thought. We may not be born with equal physical potential. Some of us have certain handicaps. You know, people are born in different situations. So all people are not born equal, but we're all born with equal potential for creative thought. And it only takes one thought to change the world. I mean, everything that has happened to the world is a product of human imagination. Every idea we've had, someone just came up with an idea, other people went along with it. So we all have the potential to do that. But people don't want to face that. They don't want to realize that they actually could change the world if they chose to, if they chose to participate. You know, all change has to come down to us. It really is us. We can't blame anybody for our situation. We have to realize that it's usually due to our non-participation that's got us here. And the fact that we're here now and we're more and more people are becoming aware of it, I mean, even that is participation in itself. So, yeah, you know, I think we are going to get change, Richie, but it's just a slow process, you know.
If you're just joining the show, we're with Max Egan. Max is absolutely terrific. He is a blogger, an artist, a great artist and musician, and also a broadcaster. As a crowhouse.com, get on there. Max, you talked about the truth movement. Isn't it true that those of us who make these programs, I'm not speaking about you now, but maybe I include myself in this, not you, but me, we tend to get hung up on individual things. Like, we talk a lot about Zionism, and we spend a lot of time talking about the money system, and we focus in on those things. But you've said in your programs and in your YouTube videos that these are just parts of an overall machine, really, aren't they?
Well, they are. They are. I mean, the money system's the head of the snake. The money system's the glue that holds it all together. And Zionism is very important because Zionism has created the whole situation in the Middle East, the whole situation in Palestine, the balkanization of all the Arab states at the moment that we're seeing. All of the disruption that we're seeing in the Middle East is all a result of Zionism. So it's important because Zionism has kind of provided a mechanism of warehousing and surplusing human beings. So you've really got to look at how it works. So these are all sort of models that are applied to the rest of the world. I mean, it is important that we become aware of these things, but I think what we really need to become aware of is our own power. We need to become aware of the fact that all of these things are just ideas. They're just ideas that exist in books. They're just different doctrines, different lifestyles, different ideologies. But ultimately, it's just people. Everything on this planet, all the problems we face, are all been created by people. You know, everything, every problem that mankind has ever faced has been created by mankind. And it's all just people, just little people. And the big problem we've got is no respect. We don't respect ourselves because we don't know ourselves. So we don't respect other people because we don't respect ourselves. That's why all of my focus has always been on that. It's been on really knowing who and what you are and changing your perspective about who and what you are, understanding your own perfection, because when you understand that, then you can see it in others. And I believe that when you can see the perfection in others and the perfection of yourself, really understand what you are, what your body is, how consciousness isn't local to your body. It exists in the field. We understand this about ourselves, and we understand this about reality, and we realize that we have absolutely infinite potential as a species to create whatever reality we want. Everything that gets in the way is all of these doctrines and all these ideas, and they're all other people's.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. So that's the problem. They're all stuff that's been fed to us in books and ideas and all of this stuff, and we never really have time to find ourselves. That's the whole problem, you know.
You've said, Max, can I just jump in there?
It's so simple, man. It's so simple to fix things if we could just see that, you know.
And I totally believe that. I wouldn't have done a few years ago, but I do believe it. Sorry for interrupting, because you've described television as almost like a life support machine, basically, that if it was taken away, that, you know, for the most of us, within days, we'd be absolutely clueless. We'd almost be in some sort of collapse. And I believe that. I think you've described very succinctly how much we've forgotten over the years. And funny enough, watching David Icke at Wembley Arena a couple of weeks ago, he was talking about getting back to the person we were, the consciousness we were before we were programmed and bombarded by everything we're being bombarded with. I mean, we used to know how to be self-sufficient. We used to know how to work within communities. We used to know how to grow our own food. We used to know how to make fire. We used to know how to do all these things. But Max, you weren't scaring people when you said that in your video at all. I think you were just making a very good point. If we were taken off this PV life support system kind of a thing, we'd be in a very bad way. And I think people need to understand that. They need to get that.
Well, they would. I mean, if people were just taken and dropped into the forest, they wouldn't know what to do. If the system collapsed today, if the banks went down and the supermarket shelves were empty and the electricity stopped, it would be chaos. People would not know what to do. Well, you could take my grandmother or your grandmother or probably even your mother or my mother and drop them in the forest and they'd know what to do.
They'd figure it out, yeah.
They'd be able to build a shelter, build a fire, catch some food, go hunting, all that sort of stuff. But we've lost all our life skills. That's one of the biggest things this society has done. It's removed us of our life skills. And not only that, but now it's transferred all of the production everywhere. You know, there's no countries that are actually autonomous anymore. There's no countries that are actually self-sufficient anymore. They used to get steels made here and the timber comes from there and the tomatoes are grown there and the potatoes come from here and something comes from somewhere else. And it's all shifted everywhere. All the industries have been moved offshore everywhere so that all the countries have become interdependent. So that no country has the skills to function on their own. Now, even if everything stopped, I mean, okay, you might be a really intelligent guy who's a good mechanic and you know how to build a motor and all that sort of stuff, but do you know how to actually get the steel out of the ground and mill it and turn it into this stuff that you need to make the motor? Do you know how to go and get the rubber from the trees to make tires? Do you know how to do – see, it's all been compartmentalized everywhere so that – nobody knows how to do all of everything. You know little bits, but you can't put it all together. And this is the way our whole planet's been constructed. So it's made every country interdependent and every culture interdependent, which means everybody's lost their autonomy and everybody's lost their basic skills. No one can function without anybody else, which turns the whole place into this one big department store.
Oh, that's so important, Max. You've just hit on something so important there. You have presidents and prime ministers talking about, you know, we need to keep trading with this country because we buy this or we buy that. And you sit there and you think, am I stupid or could we not help unemployment in this country by making this ourselves? Could we not put our own people to work making that raw material, sourcing that raw material? And it's a question, of course, that doesn't get asked. It certainly doesn't get asked by the media. You never heard David Cameron or Barack Obama ask the question. From a journalist saying, listen, why do you go and get all that steel or why do you go and get all that from over there? Why don't you do it yourselves? Put British people back to work. You know, give them a good job, give them a good income. I mean, nobody asks that question, Max. You do.
Well, that's the thing, you see. And it's like I said, it's not only if you break the system down, then it becomes difficult to function in your society. It's that you don't have the skills in your society to actually do everything that you used to do 100 years ago because it's all been moved offshore. So everything is interdependent, so you can't collapse the system because if you collapse the system, nobody can function. You know what I'm saying? It's all been moved around the place, so everybody's dependent upon everybody else. That's why they've done it that way. That's why they transfer wealth all around the planet and they transfer industries all around the planet. They move everything offshore. So you know, we've got to reestablish a real education system whereby we can reattain our life skills. We're only going to do this by having societies which act in integrity. We need to get some politicians that are going to act in integrity, reestablish a real education system so we can get ourselves back on track. You know, we can't go down the path that we're going down because it's only going to lead to the destruction of this planet's ability to support human life. That's going to be the only result of this system. And by the time we realize that, we will have lost so many skills that we simply cannot function without each other anymore. You know, each country will not be able to function without the other countries, which means we've got to continue all this import-export rubbish, which means we've got to have this economic model, which means we're just trapped in this system. So, you know, we really need to step back and reevaluate this situation and establish some sort of legitimate education system whereby we regain our humanity. We're in a very, very dangerous position at the moment because we're dependent upon a corporate system which does not care one hoot about humanity. And that's a very dangerous position to be in.
Yeah, I mean, when Joel Bakan and his fellow filmmakers made The Corporation a few years ago, they appropriately diagnosed the corporation as being insane, didn't they, Max? I mean, it is. You know, corporations, of course.
Well, it's a psychopathic system. It is. Yeah. It's a psychopathic system.
That's right.
It has to be in order to function. I mean, if it's going to function according to a bottom line, which is profit, then, of course, it's psychopathic. And when you really look at it and the whole homogenization of the system, eventually you end up with one corporation that runs the whole world. And then because it's all about profits, then all it can do is lower the standard of its produce and discard more and more of humanity in order to support the corporate system. Like I said, you know, it's an economic model which will result in the destruction of this planet's ability to support life. And that's where we're heading. And it's just a meme. It's just an idea. It's just numbers on a screen. It's not real. We need to wake up to ourselves.
But things, finally, Max, things are happening, though, aren't they? Because people whom were absolutely close-minded and reticent beyond belief to listen to any of this information, let alone investigate it, are changing all the time and are getting sick of it. And it's because they're being impacted. Because, you know, I hate to use the class system, but middle-class people, middle-income people, whom always had just enough to get by, were never really under any threat or any, you know, never really kind of struggling, are now being, because of the madness of the last few years, are now being impacted and are now being hurt and they're finding it very difficult to live. And because of that, they're turning to listen to Max Egan on the radio. They're reading davidicke.com. They're catching InfoWars. And I think there's a huge, and this is not just, you know, nonsense now, wishful thinking. There's a massive, massive change coming, Max.
Well, there is. It's just people are wondering what to do. I mean, people are becoming aware that there is a situation. They just don't know what to do about it. And it's getting to a point. I mean, what do we do? We've really got to get it, bring it back to community. Because, like I said, we can't just crash this system because the system's too interdependent now. If we crash the system, there'd be so many people suffer. So we've really got to bring it back to respectful community so we've got a strong communal response to the system. And that's where we'll find some real change.
Max, it was an absolute pleasure talking to you. It's taken a while for us to chat, which is my bad. Loved having you on. A lot of emails from people since we started this a few weeks ago asking us when are we going to get you on. Delighted you came on. Max's website is thecrowhouse.com. You can catch him on there, and there's links there to YouTube videos and articles Max has written as well. Real pleasure, mate. Keep up the great work, and please come back and talk to us again real soon.
My pleasure, Richie. Always happy to come on, brother, and you keep doing what you do, and I'll speak soon.
Wake up and smell the coffee at VolcaniaInternational.com.